appreciate that. That made me feel better. I really didn't know that they had been through a problem like that. And God does take care of us. I was thinking about a couple of things. We've been in Christian education for 14 years. I think we have about 25 homeschool people out of our church. If we could ever help you with homeschool, I don't promote the ACE program. I'm not a promoter of ACE, but I will tell you this, that the people that we have who work in homeschool with ACE, it's probably the easiest thing that you can do, because it is self-taught, and you can do it without being made absolutely crazy, whereas something else you can't. Other people I've talked to have had real good success with Becca and their video program. That seems to be a real good program. But I thought I'd mention that. I thought I'd mention this. I better not, though. Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 19. I'm going to preach a real simple message. This is really I don't know whether I'll be able to preach or not now that I'm up here. I've thought about this all day, and I've thought about it for several days. In fact, I've been praying about it for several months, maybe 6 months. And this is not something usually that I would preach, but this is not a lot of principles in this message, but this is just a preaching message. This message is called Grit, Good Sense, and Grace. And I just want to preach to you about grit and good sense and grace. There might be somebody here right now, and listen, I'm serious about this. You listen. There might be a couple right now. This is for the wife. This is her last ditch effort. I mean, she's agreed to come in her heart to this meeting to see if her husband is going to get any help, and then this is going to be it. I appreciate Brother Estep said, I really appreciate it, because a young missionary's wife, he asked her to play the piano, and she came to the piano, and she says, well, before I play, I've just got to say this. She said, when I came to this meeting, I was going to go home and leave my husband. And now I've come and I've heard this message, and she said, I'm going to work it out. And you know, there might be somebody here like that. Brother Pike said, take several months and establish your home. I didn't look up the verse of Scripture, but an Israelite soldier was allowed a year to cheer his wife. Amen. But the problem that I thought about, Brother Pike, is establish your home when you get on the mission field. Brother Landolt has shipped a lot of missionaries home from Germany, and he told me, he said, Brother Jones, he said, they're just almost divorced when they get here. And you better establish your home before you go on deputation. I mean, he's talking about establishing your home on the mission field. You need to do that, and you need to take a year out or 6 months or whatever it takes to get settled on the mission field. I was talking to Brother Fisher about that, and we spent a lot of time in Mexico, and I know my wife would not go to the market without me if we were in Mexico. I know that I would have to go with her. I mean, somebody, when you stop and you fill your car up with gas and it's $80,000, it's hard to compute in your mind. You know, this, you just hand this guy $80,000 for a tank of gas, and the numbers just confuse you. So I don't know if you can have that much wisdom or not, but a lot of missionary homes are not established. A lot of you, several of you, have fairly serious problems with your home. And I'm going to preach to you today about your marriage. And I have one more session. I'm going to talk to you about your children and how to make it with your children. And let's pray. God bless now in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. In Matthew chapter 19, I'll just quote this because I'm going to read it in just a minute. But what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I don't I always carry my Bible, but I always print all the scriptures in whatever I write because I know nobody's going to look them up. So I've just put them in there. What God has joined together. My daughter came and told me there's a young lady who's in her family who was getting a divorce, and we've dealt with this girl for years, and I asked my daughter, I said, well, what's wrong with this girl? And she said, Dad, she said, she feels like that life is a party and she's never been invited. And this is no party, amen. And it's going to take some grit for some people to stay married. The Bible says what God has joined together, what does he say? Let not man put asunder, and divorce is the death of the marriage and the destruction of the home and the discouragement of the children. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. One of the folks gave me this, I'll just read this to you. 80% of the adolescents in psychiatric hospitals are from broken homes. 3 out of 4 teenage suicides occur in households where a parent has been absent. The percent of single households with teen is significantly associated with rates of violent crime and burglary. 5 out of 6 adults with criminal records come from homes where one parent was absent. The ability to learn, especially for boys, is impaired in growing up without a father. A study of 17,000 children living apart from their biological parent are 20 to 40% are more vulnerable to sickness. 20 to 30% are more likely to be injured in an accident. And then there's a lot of pressure put on me to shut up about this because some preacher got a divorce. Now, you got to be kidding, man. I am dead set, flat out, 100% against divorce. Yours, mine, my daughter's, or anybody else's. Divorce has created more hell in this country than probably any one thing that there is. It'll discourage and demoralize and defeat and possibly destroy your children. The Bible says that God hateth putting away. You said this laps over on what you said before. Amen. You need to be lapped, man. That's one of your problems. Amen. Some of this, they said, well, what one brother said lapped over on what somebody else said. You need to lap it. Amen. You need some more lapping. Marriage is a picture of Jesus Christ and the church. Amen. That's what God thinks of it. God says that the Bible says that's a picture. In Ephesians, this is the great mystery I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now listen. Are you listening? You need to read. I haven't got time to read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, but you need to read that. You need to read that because that talks about staying there. It asks the question, says, how do you know, wife, that your husband won't be saved? And how do you know, husband, that your wife won't be saved? Amen? You cannot put your mate on trial. You cannot begin to say, well, if this happens and if he goes straight here or he goes straight there, then I think I'll stay in. Amen? God never devised separation as a means to help a marriage. It will not help you to run off to mamas. Amen. It won't help you. It won't help your marriage. Your children did not ask to be come into this world. You brought children into this world. You were married for better or worse, and now it's what? Worse. Now it's worse. And I mean to tell you, it can be bad. A bad marriage is a bad thing. Amen. But a divorce is a worse thing. Amen. So the number one thing about this point under grit is stay in there. Hang in there. Amen. Hang on. Amen? Amen? Hang on. You get right with God. Amen. You get right with God. You do what you're supposed to do and then see what God will do. Amen. God will not deliver you or I unless we stand. You take a missionary on the field and he's vacillating about whether to come home or not, God's not going to do nothing for him. You take a pastor and he's in between whether he should stay in his church or leave his church, God's not going to do nothing for him. Amen. You take a man who somebody's trying to drive him out of his church, and we went through that and I stood, so I must have got 25 phone calls from preachers wanting to know what to do. Get in your pulpit and stand, man. Just get in there and stand. And amen. Amen. Occupy all the ground that God gave you to occupy. Occupy every inch of ground that God has given you and stand. Amen. Having done all to what?
Stand.
Having done how much?
All.
Do all that you can do. Do all that you can do and stand. You don't know. You don't know. What if you quit one day before he gets right? You've ruined your home. You've subject your children to destruction. Stay married. Stay married. Stay married. Make up your mind to stay married. Put your life on the altar here and say, not if, not maybe, but just put your life here and say, I'm going to stay married. I'm going to make this thing work. I know it's humiliating and I know it's hard. It's humiliating sometimes to continue on in a pastor. I've had to get up my church, hadn't I, and apologize to the congregation for things I've done. It's humiliating to continue on in a ministry. And it's humiliating to continue on in a marriage. But maybe God wants you humiliated. You men better think about this. You better think about Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, where it talks about as the mother is, so is the daughter to the loathing of her husband. A husband's anger is vented on his wife. The Bible talks about husbands bitter against the wife. And the husband's attitude towards the wife ends and terminates in bitterness because he can take his anger out on her. But she cannot. She cannot psychologically. I don't care what she does. She can't take her anger out on her husband. And so her dissatisfaction with her husband does not terminate in bitterness like it does with a man. It terminates in loathing. And she can't stand your touch. And she can't stand your looks. And listen, you're looking at me. You look at me, preacher. When she jumps, she's gone. You leaving her might be an open invitation to say, let's talk about it. Amen. You might be making a statement. You might be trying to shock her. Because your emotional feelings with her terminate in what?
Bitterness.
And amen, you can dig the roots of that bitterness out. But in the book of Ezekiel, where does her emotional feelings terminate? Where do they end? They end in loathing. She loathes you. She can't stand your touch, your voice. She's sick of you. And she's not going to be reconciled. There's a lot of men in here who know about a lot of divorces. And you can reconcile when it's a man who's leaving. About 50% of the time you can reconcile it when a mature woman with children jumps. Your ministry, son, is down the drain. You're down the drain. It's like it was a big plug in your navel and somebody pulled it. And in a lot of times, this is what really gets me. A lot of times that guy will tell you, I didn't know that this was going to happen. That's how much he knew about his wife. That's how sensitive he was. He was living with a woman who loathed him, and he didn't have the sense enough to pick up on it. He's so busy, amen, being spiritual. Make up your mind to stick. God will save your marriage. God will deliver you. If you get on a mission field and you have problems and you stand, God will deliver you. Brother Griggers told me he was in court for 10 years. God delivered him. He just stayed in there. Just stay there, stay there, stay there, stay there, stay there, stay there, stay there. Stand. When the devil sees you're not going to move, he'll let you alone. As long as you vacillate, he'll just keep bothering and bothering and troubling and troubling. Make up your mind. What's the first point? What's the first point in this thing? Just guts. Just have the guts and the grits to stick it out. For the sake of the ministry, for the sake of your children, amen, for the testimony of God, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Amen. And then good sense. You ought to have some good sense. I have an outline under good sense. Point number one under good sense is get up. Get out of bed. You ever call a preacher at 10 o'clock in the morning and he's sleepy? Don't you call me at 10 o'clock in the morning and say, "Oh, Brother Jones, did I get you out of bed? I'll hang up on you, you knothead." What an insult. I'm up at 10 o'clock, bless God, in the morning. My wife is up. We're up at our house. We made it a point in our house to get up about the time our men go to work and work just about as long as our men work. Amen. I punch in and I punch out just about like the men in my church punch in and punch out and then work Saturday and Sunday to boot. Glory to God, I like it. I wish I could roll in it. Get up, get up, get up, get out of bed, get moving. Get up, have your personal and private devotions in the morning. Don't wait like Brother Fisher does his at night when you're sleepy. Do it early in the morning. Do it early in the morning. Jesus met the Lord early in the morning. Meet early in the morning. Get up. Let the first thing you do, talk to God. Read your Bible. Let God talk to you. No televisions, no papers, no magazines. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Pray to God. Have prayer. Have your devotions. When? Early, early, early in the morning. Get up. Clean up. Clean that rat hole out. Demons and devils and all kinds of uncleanness lurk around dirty closets and dirty halls and dirty rooms and dirty bathrooms and dirty dishes. Clean. Amen. I hate a dirty refrigerator. Amen. Clean that thing out. Clean up. Have a clean home. We was in Mexico and we was visiting a home. It had bare walls, had bare roof, had dirt floor, but there was a doily or something attractive on every surface. And my wife says, "Oh, hermano, you have such a clean home." And she said, "Well, you can be poor, but you don't have to be dirty. You can be poor, but you don't have to be what? Dirty." Amen? Amen. Get up. Clean up. Keep up. Here's a woman come to me for marriage counseling. She's 35 years old. She has greasy, unkept blonde hair. She's wearing a sleeveless shirt over a cut-off sweatshirt. I mean, the sleeves of this sweatshirt's just been hacked off. Amen. She's wearing a pair of trousers, two sizes too small. She's about 75 pounds overweight. She said, well, her condition was glandular. It was his saliva glands. And her husband has lost interest in her. I lost interest in her right away, man. I'm telling you right now. I went out and looked at her car, and the only place was to sit was the driver's seat. There was every kind of a box from every fast food joint in the town she lived in and chicken bones on the seat. Keep up your personal appearance. You might get a little heavier. Nobody minds you getting a little heavier if you try to carry it right. But man, don't carry it so that everybody sees it. Amen? Where it's get out of your sweatpants. Get up and put a dress on. Amen. Get out of your sweatpants and your old sloppy slippers. And amen. Don't have your hair all look like you're wired for sound when your husband comes home. Brush your teeth. Comb your hair. Use some deodorant. Amen. You're not going to be a beau to your husband and she's going to be a sweetheart to you. Amen. If you both look like somebody out of the funny papers, good night. I'm telling you the truth. Ease up. You don't have to be right. You know, some of us fundamentalists, we're so right, man. We are so right. Amen, aren't we? We're right. And I mean, we'll run you into the ground. We'll drive over you, then back over you again. Amen. Why? We're right. You may not be as right as you think. Pay up. Get your bills paid. Pay your bills. Don't ever let a bill collector contact your wife. If one does, you tell him not to. Give him your work number. You pay the bills. Pay up. Then here's one. Shut up. I mean, just shut up. Brother Billy Allen taught me this. The tongue is painted red for a warning. God put it in prison behind a wall of flesh and lips and fenced it in with bone and ivory. A foolish son is a calamity of his father, and a contentious wife is continual droppings. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The continual droppings of a rainy day, the continual droppings in a very rainy day, and the contentious woman are alike. Quit nagging. Quit griping. Quit complaining. Amen? Now, there's an interesting thing. I got to looking at this, and there's not one verse in here likewise for a man. Not one. Why? Do men gripe? Do men complain? Why isn't there a verse like that then for the man? If men gripe and complain, why doesn't God put a several? You see, all those verses, that was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 5 verses out of Proverbs about a contentious woman. Why isn't there something in there about a contentious man? Because God made you, sir, and he didn't make you to act like a woman. God knew, number one, you'd never have PMS. God knew that. God knew, number two, you'd never be pregnant. God knew, number three, you'd never go through menopause. So quit acting like it. Griping and complaining and, amen, nagging at your wife. Quit acting like a woman, man. Start acting like a man. You're commanded to love your wife even as Jesus loved the church. So men asked me, they said, I was playing golf with them, and they said, well, give us an outline, preacher, of what we can do for our wives. So I gave them one. Number one, this is good sense. Appreciation. Appreciate your wife. Instead of saying, is this all we got to eat? What is this stuff? I gave you $30 last week. You got 6 kids. I mean, you go to your closet and there's clean shirts there. You go to the drawer and there's clean underwear and socks there, and you're sleeping in a clean bed, and you got 3 meals a day, and you're not genuinely thankful for it. And you just begin to take her for granted. I want you to look in Genesis 3:16. Would you look there, please? I like what Brother West said. He said, look down there. Look up here. Look over there. I like that. I like Brother Fisher. Praise God for it. Amen. We need him. God bless him and increase his tribe, and may even do more than he's doing. Are you listening? All right. God is saying to the woman, now this is after the fall. This is how our wife really is. And God said to the woman, he said, I will greatly increase thy what? Thy sorrow. You see, and it says, and in sorrow and conception, I will greatly increase thy sorrow and conception, and in sorrow thy, listen, women are not as emotionally stable as men. You listen to me, sir? My wife, Brother Drummond, y'all all know Brother Drummond, he took 15 boys and they climbed the mountain, the Smoky Mountains. They climbed chimney tops. And they got off the trail and got lost and came down the side of the mountain. They came down the side of the mountain and they were scratched. And they were tore. And they were dirty. And they were insect bit. And we had worried. I had prayed. I'd done everything. First, I prayed for Brother Drummond. Then he didn't come back, and so I began to rail on him and pronounce curses and blasphemies against him. But finally, they came back, and here they are. I mean, clothes torn, bug bit. Amen. Everything but snake bit. They were just wrecked. And here come those boys, and they said, "Boy, that's a lot of fun. We ought to do that again tomorrow." And my wife said, "You've got to be nuts. What did y'all do?" Well, he said, we went up there and lost the trail. We just came straight down the mountain. He said, man, we hung from vines and climbed down trees. And glory, that was a wonderful experience. And she said, y'all are nuts. Why? Who would want to do that? And listen to me. What you consider as a step of faith and as an adventure, your wife sees as nothing but a threat. It's a threat to her. It's a threat to her security. It's a threat to the security of her children. You're supposed to dwell with your wife according to what?
Knowledge.
You're not supposed to make all these boo-boos and get someplace and have no visas and not know what you can take into a country and what you can bring out. And amen. Have somebody go through your luggage and find contraband and then all of a sudden you're arrested and there your wife is standing, amen, in a foreign country and you're arrested with a bag full of contraband. You're supposed to know all that. She's trusted you. Now, when you've surrendered to go here and you've surrendered to do this and you've surrendered to do that, and now you've surrendered to do something else and you just want her to blithely follow you along, why, you're her head, but her head's empty, see, and she knows it. And your compass is broke. And she is insecure. And what does insecurity do? Insecurity creates hostility. And hostility comes out as complaining, or it's held in as depression. Now, look at who her desire is toward. Now listen, your desire is toward your work. Every man right here, every missionary on deputation, every missionary, this man's desire right here is not to get home to his wife. If you ask him, what's the one thing you want to do? What is it? He wants to go back to Spain and get back into work. Now, I know his wife wants to go with him. I understand all that. But his desire, your desire, is for your ministry and what God has called you to do. And that's where it's supposed to be. But where is her desire? It's toward you. And if you don't fulfill her desire, you have not loved her as Jesus loved the church. You see, Christ is your security. And you're living by faith, but you're her security. I know that you don't believe that. And I know that some of you believe, well, she's just as saved as I am, bless God, and all this kind of business. But that it just doesn't happen to be what God wrote in the Bible.
Amen.
That's just not what God wrote in the Bible. That's not the way God made her. Let me tell you something, missionary. When you leave your home and you leave your wife to do your duties and to take care of your problems that you've created, two things are going to happen. Number one, God has not designed her or built her to do it. If she does it, she'll do it, amen, without the built-in abilities to do it. She may be intelligent enough to do it, and she may be strong enough to do it. But the worst thing of it is God won't bless her to do it. You see, you might get her to do things for you that you're supposed to do and run interference for you and take care of some of your problems, and she may have the native talent and intelligence to do that, but the worst thing about that is God won't bless her for doing it because he wants you to do it. So number two, when you give your wife something to do that God has not commanded her to do or gifted her to do or designed her to do or to bless her to do, number one, God won't help her do it. And number two, God won't bless her when she does. Y'all got quiet then, didn't you? Because I can just feel how some of you missionaries do, and just when you're going on deputation, you just pile all these responsibilities up on your wife. Dave told me it's going to rain. I called my wife, and it's my responsibility. I called my wife, and I said, just make sure the basement drain is clear. Ain't my business to go home find my basement flooded.
Why is my basement flooded?
Well, I don't know. The basement was flooded because I forgot to clean out the drain before I left. They ain't heard a problem. The basement drain, you got that? You got that? You understand that? The basement drain is not her problem. Whose problem is it? It's my problem. I open the refrigerator, there's nothing to eat in there, and that's her problem. But that basement drain ain't her problem. It's my problem. You pile all these problems on your wife that, number one, God has not designed her or gifted her to do. God will not bless her. God will not help her do them, and God will not bless her if she doesn't. So you've just created a bunch of frustration. Acceptance. Your wife needs to know that no matter what, what's the testimony of the bride? I am my beloved and what?
My beloved is mine.
And she says that twice. And she just needs to know that she's secure in you. You cannot have any affections outside of her.
Amen.
You cannot.
Amen.
And in affection, just show your wife affection. Appreciation, acceptance, affection. Just be affectionate to her. Kiss her on the neck. Tell her you love her. Tell her she's beautiful. Admire her. Now, you're not going to like this. You're not going to like this. Adore her.
Amen.
Let your wife know not only do you like her and you want her and you appreciate her presence, but that you adore her. Read the Song of Solomon. He says, I adore you. He likes you. See, if my wife gave me a flower, what do I care, man? Yeah, I don't want a flower. But if I give her one, and that's what she wants. Treat your friends like family. We're forgiving and protective of our family. Be forgiving and protective of your friends. Treat your friends like family. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Treat your friends like family, and then treat your family like friends. We're patient and considerate with our family, with our friends. We're patient and considerate with our friends. Be patient and considerate with your family. Treat your friends like what? Like family. Be forgiving. Amen. Be forgiving and open to your family, to your friends. And then treat your family like what? Friends. Talk to your wife and treat your wife and your children just like you would want to treat your best friend so you would keep them. Make your wife your best friend. Let your wife know. What's the testimony again in the Song of Solomon? He says about his bride, what does he say about her? He said, this is my beloved, this is my friend. What a friend you have in Jesus. Make your wife, let your wife know that you prefer her company above all others. Let your wife know that you prefer her company. Tell her that you show her that you prefer her company. Man, I can't think about going out to eat if I didn't take my wife. I mean, it ain't gonna work, man. And then the last, grace. Good sense, amen. Acceptance, appreciation, affection, adore your wife. Love without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one toward another in brotherly love. You see, we always apply that to what? We always apply that to the church and other people. Why doesn't that apply at home? Why shouldn't we be kind and affectionate, preferring one another? I prefer my wife's company. I got to travel with Dave this week. You say, who would you rather have, Dave or your wife? I mean, you got to be kidding. He snores and does, amen, eats and listen, I like to have him along, but he's, ain't he much toss-up, is there? Listen. When you are not reconciled this way, you're not reconciled this way. Recognize, fellas. Recognize the problem is not her, it's me. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Where do they come from? Come they not from your own what? No, lust. Recognize the problem is not outside you, that the problem is inside you. This thing, you some of you wouldn't recognize it, but this thing that Brother Brownie is teaching in the morning about the crucified life is some of the greatest marriage counseling you could ever have. How are you going to love your wife as Christ loved the church without self being crucified and being filled with the Holy Spirit of God? How are you and I going to fulfill such a command as that? It's over our heads, isn't it? Unless we make our bodies a vessel of the Holy Ghost of God and to let God love our wives and our children through us, how are we ever going to fulfill a commandment like that? It's over our heads. It's more than we can do. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and you just say, well, you know, I was just raised this way and I just have a bad temper. No, you're just in the flesh. You're not Amen. Right with God. Why don't you understand that?
Amen.
The works of the flesh are manifest. There it is. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed. Here's something. Listen. I've got 5 minutes and I'm going to finish on this. I heard a message right here. And a lot of you heard it, and it made an impression on some of you. It really made an impression upon me. Fruit is for others. We got this thing today about religion, and even among fundamentalists, where we want to be filled with the Spirit so we can have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, mercy. We want to have better, do better, and feel better. But God doesn't want you filled with the Holy Ghost so you can have better, do better, and feel better. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost so you'll be a better person. That love and that joy and that peace that's a gift of that's the fruit of the Spirit, that shouldn't be just for yourself. Who should it be for? It'd be for others. No tree consumes its own fruit. I don't think there is. Probably somebody will come up with one that does, but it's not natural. No tree consumes its own fruit. If I have the fruit of the Spirit in my life, my wife should benefit from it. You know, we teach our kids in our Christian school, never be interested in a boy who doesn't help, who you can't worship God better if you're around him. Never be interested in a girl who you can't worship God better if you're around him. Never be interested in a boy or a girl that doesn't aid your worship. Well, shouldn't the husband aid his wife in her worship and her relationship with God? Shouldn't the wife be a blessing to her husband? Amen. And help him. Amen. And be his helpmeet to have a closer relationship with God. We want to have the fruit of the Spirit, don't we? But we want it so we can be powerful and we can be like these great speakers we've heard and say these profound sayings that we hear. Amen. Be used of God. I want to be used of God. But I'll not be used of God if my home is ruined and wrecked. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Next verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Number one, we have the ministry of reconciliation. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I was always taught that I was supposed to go out and reconcile every sinner to God. And I watched that through the years in the fellowship that I was in. And while all of these men were out reconciling all these sinners to God, they were alienated against their family and their children and homes. Every pastor I ever had is out of the ministry now because he's divorced. And while he was out stirring the churches and doing a great work for God, his home went to pieces, and his ministry was cut short, and he's out. We have a ministry of reconciliation. I'm supposed to be sure that my children and I are reconciled. Reconcile yourself to your children. Reconcile yourself to your husband. Reconcile yourself to your wife. Be reconciled. Be of one mind. How can two walk together except they what? Agree. How are you going to know what you agree about unless you sit down and talk it over? See, some of you are afraid to talk for the same reason you're afraid to go to the doctor. You don't want to hear what's wrong. You just want to go blithely on and hope that somehow it's this silly thing that fundamentalists have got. Well, I'm just walking by faith and everything's going to work out. Why don't you interview 2,000 ruined people and find out that that doesn't work? Verse 19. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath given to us the word of reconciliation. Listen, we may not agree on everything. My wife and I don't agree on everything, but we agree on this. And if you'll take the Bible and put it here, and the wife will put her hand on it here, and you put your hand on it here, and you'll say, "Wife, I'll meet you here." You won't need some preacher or some marriage counselor to be your mediator. This is your mediator. Here is your mediator. Here is your reconciliation. Your reconciliation is in the finished work of Jesus Christ. What happens to a husband and wife if they both let this mind be in them which is in Christ Jesus? How alienated are they? And then last we have the motive for reconciliation in verse 20 and 21. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Next, I have a verse. The next verse in this message is, grow not weary in well-doing. It doesn't say not to grow weary. You do well, and you'll grow weary. It just says, don't get tired of doing right. Just keep on doing right. Just keep on doing right. If you do right long enough, God will bless your life, your marriage, your family. Save your children, reconcile you to somebody in your family, your wife or your children who are alienated from you. It is possible. Jesus has purchased that just as surely as he's purchased our salvation. I have a few more things I could say. Confess your faults one to another. We don't want to do that. We're not Catholic, no. We're not even Christians. In the way we act a lot of times, or somebody has to get up and lecture us about our ethics. I'll tell you what, fellas, that runs through your whole deal. That's why I'm not a member of the board here or anything. I couldn't handle it. If I found out you didn't keep the rules, honestly, truthfully, I could have. I couldn't handle it. I wouldn't be able to handle it. I couldn't handle it. And that's the way we are. And that flops over into our marriage. You are the same careless. It'll all work out. It's super spiritual. It won't either. You're going to have to make it work. First thing is what? Grit. What does that mean? Just hang in there. Just hang in there. Just stay with it. Amen. Suffer the humiliation and pain, and God will give deliverance to those who stand. Can God deliver anybody who won't stand? Will God deliver somebody who doesn't stand? No. Stand there. And then just use some good sense. We have a lady in our church whose name is Wanda, and she just doesn't have any common sense. And everywhere my wife goes, my wife says there's a Wanda in every church. There's a Wanda in every church. Amen. Just a loose cannon. There's a Wanda here. There's no hope for you. Amen. Just get out of the way and let other people go on and live it. Amen. And then last, have some grace. Amen. What does God do? He giveth more grace. Yes, you can too. Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Schultz. You're a good man. I love you.